This is 91.7 WHUS Stores. Welcome back to the Hank and Ted podcast. We have yet another guest here with us in the studio, another friend of the show. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I would. I'm Sam Lee. I'm did I just dox myself?
Yes. It doesn't matter.
I'll delete it. It's fine. Okay. We have to do that for Grant.
Okay. So my address is, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the very eventful week that it's been.
And what a crazy week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a lot to talk about, but
before we get to the elephant in the room, we want to talk about some other stories that happened this week. Because we know that once we start talking about the biggest story of the week, we probably won't stop until the episode's over.
Yeah.
So what should we start with?
Last Thursday was the 24th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah, like nobody talked about it.
Yeah, I just had a feeling that, like, I wonder if that was, like, the first time 9/11, like, happened, and it, like, the number one thing on everyone's mind wasn't 9/11 on September 11th.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember a time where 9/11 hasn't been the focus of the day.
Yeah.
Other than this year. Like, yeah. I don't think it's ever been overshadowed in the way it was this year.
Yeah. So, rest in peace to the 2,900 people, something like that. 2,977 people who lost their lives. I feel like that's a quick one to open up with.
I guess we still went through all the same, like, normal cultural charades. There were still the memorial events. There was still the Trump gave a speech.
Yeah.
He did not look great, by
except
the way.
Except, he did look like he had a stroke, which...
Yeah, half of his face was slumping. It was whack.
I don't know, because, like, he appeared later in the day at the Yankees game, and he looked fine.
Yeah.
He gave a speech before that, too, I think. Was that before or after, and he was fine? It's just, like, when he sat down, everything kind
of... He, like, fell asleep, and then, like, his like, the left side of his mouth just started drooping.
Are there, like drugs that people, like, that can take to make their...
I mean,
if they're out, he probably has access to them.
He probably has some drugs that the American population doesn't know about.
Yeah, some, like, crazy stimulant.
Yeah. No, there's definitely a chance of that. He's been on stimulants his whole life. We've talked about this.
Yeah. We love Hispanics thing.
Yeah.
Using that, yeah.
Yeah.
So funny.
What else? What other, like, not insanely heavy things can we talk about before?
Not insanely heavy things. I lost in fantasy this week.
I probably am as well. My opponent had Amon-Ra St. Brown. Congrats to him. He had a great game. But, okay. Yeah, not great.
Yeah, no, I did real good week one fantasy, but this week I got smashed, like clobbered. Like, it was bad from the beginning. Jaden Daniels started by underperforming on Thursday night, and after that, I knew it was kind of over, but...
What else did you have that, like, sold?
Derrick Henry got 2.3 points on Sunday, despite the Ravens destroying. It didn't matter, because Derrick Henry could not run, because Browns have good defense, actually.
Good defense. Yeah, Jalen Hurts didn't do too great for me. Neither did Hunter Henry. But we'll be back next week.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. And in my other league, I won. So we're doing all right. We're doing all right.
Good looks.
That's positive news.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Ravens won.
The Ravens won. That's positive news. Go Birds. There's no good way to segue into anything else, because everything else is so, like, bad.
Yeah, no. Everything else is...
I feel like something else happened. TikTok looks like it's getting saved.
Yeah, I guess...
You're on TikTok. Really? Good for you. Yeah. He, like, made a deal or something.
He has framework for a deal.
Oh, he's concepts of a deal.
Yeah, he has concepts of a deal. But, like, it's also weird because yesterday Trump also said, like, he might let it go. So, realistically, he's just going to push it back.
Well, he said that yesterday, but then today he was like, well, since I threatened them, they actually, like, begged me for a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the standard Trump playbook. It's not anything new.
Yeah, that's what he does.
You guys just think it's, like, redundant to talk about him, honestly, because it's just, like, you can predict what he's going to do. He's just going to do the worst possible thing most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like... It gets
it's like
to
at
a point.
What point can you just be like, he's bad, and like have it actually change someone's mind? Because I feel like everyone's their feelings about Trump are very
even Trump supporters
psych,
know.
You know. Yeah, like you either love him or you hate him.
Well, that's the thing.
And you're gonna die like defending like whichever one it is.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Like, everyone that supports Trump, like, has basically accepted that he's in the Epstein files now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're like, it's okay, he's a good president. It's like, okay.
Speaking of that, they quietly released some of the files.
Yeah.
Was it Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Well, Wednesday night, the Senate voted, they blocked the release, 51-49.
Yeah, but the House is about to pass it.
All right, that's cool.
There's a special election, I want to say North Carolina. It's a very reliant blue seat.
Oh, good look.
And so within 2 months, no matter what, the Epstein files will release, which is
that's crazy.
Crazy because it's 217 to 218 right now. And it's going to be... Yeah, so...
And Thomas Massie is that one Republican who's been very insistent on releasing them. So shout out to him, I guess, for having some sort of moral...
Yeah, he has some moral compass somewhere. I guess that's better than what we can say for a lot of people.
Standards are low, but he met something. So
even Marjorie Taylor Greene was one of the people that voted for it, too.
Yeah, I guess you can rely on the conspiracy heads sometimes.
Like, those people, like, they are crazy, don't get me wrong, but they stick to their beliefs.
Can I bring T.S. Mike closer?
Yeah, I got you. I was gonna...
All right.
Another big thing that happened earlier in the week was Russia attacked NATO.
Oh, I forgot.
I think that happened, was that Monday or Tuesday?
Monday, I think.
It was like right after we recorded the last episode. I heard about it.
Well, the elephant in the room happened Wednesday,
The shooting in Utah.
The shooting in Utah happened Wednesday.
Yeah,
it happened Wednesday. I think it happened Tuesday.
It happened.
They called for NATO to help them out on Wednesday, but then they retracted it the next day, so it kind of doesn't matter, I guess, even though...
For those who aren't informed, Russia sent, I think it was 12 or 13 drones and bombed the eastern part of Poland, which is a NATO ally. It's the first time they've ever directly attacked NATO, and they immediately wrote it off as, a routing error.
Yeah, which makes drones. No sense.
It makes, it's not a coincidence that the second Trump gets in office, they start testing NATO. Because Biden was the NATO guy.
Yeah.
So they were never going to do that under Biden.
Yeah.
But is this the first time? It was Article 4, which is not Article 5, which is the one that would bring us into war automatically.
Yeah.
But how long has it been since Article 4 has been invoked? I don't know.
I
don't think it ever has.
That's crazy.
NATO has never been invaded.
Yeah.
This was the first attack on NATO that we've ever seen, I think, technically. Which is insane.
Yeah.
And that got swept under the rug, obviously. But, I think it's fair to say that this wouldn't happen under Biden.
Yeah.
He was
the NATO president.
To a fault, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his foreign policy obviously was one of his biggest weaknesses.
By, one of his insiders, and they basically confirmed, he cared much more about his perception among world leaders than among the actual people of the country. Americans. Which, now, we have the opposite problem with Trump. Which he doesn't give a fuck about the world leaders have to think at all. It's just whatever he wants. But
he just cares about convincing the public.
Yeah, it's crazy.
A lot of news out of Israel-Palestine.
Mm. Yeah.
They bombed Qatar.
Yeah.
Which is...
Israel has bombed, I want to say, 8 foreign nations now.
Yep. And Qatar specifically is crazy because they are doing some crazy deals with Trump right now.
Yeah, they're technically our ally.
That's where our... We have a base there, don't we?
Didn't they give him the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave us a plane. $400 million plane or something.
I thought we had some sort of military presence there, U.S. military presence in Qatar.
We have military presence in Qatar, UAE, Saudi.
Yeah.
The U.S. military is everywhere. This is why I'll never understand the we need Israel argument. What are you talking about? We have military bases everywhere. On the planet.
Yeah.
As if we haven't been, bragging our relationship with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, exactly.
For the past, 20 years.
Which is, 2 countries away from Israel.
Yeah. And is, I guess, arguably a more dominant superpower.
Than even Israel?
Though, yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Saudi has way more money, just in general, because of its oil. Same with Qatar. Qatar has a lot of oil money. Mm-hmm. Most of those Middle Eastern nations do. Israel has now attacked 8 foreign nations the last 2 weeks, which is unprecedented, and they're not facing any blowback, period, which is just insane work.
It's also very predictable.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's very predictable.
I mean, Trump loves Netanyahu, Like,
so does every single elected Democrat.
Yep.
Like, with the, like, you know what I mean. Like,
I heard, didn't the UN vote to recognize Palestine as a country?
Yeah, did you see that video where that, like, Israel dude, like, they had some ambassador for Israel, like, he was speaking at the UN. I don't know what his specific position or name was. But he, like, literally got this, like, paper shredder he brought to, like, the big, like, stand like, where they
lectern.
Speak. Yeah, the lectern. And then he just, like, started shredding, like, the UN charter, and he was like, this is what you guys are doing right now for, like, recognizing a genocide. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, no, a bunch of, in somewhat lighter news, a bunch of countries are saying they're not going to join Eurovision next year.
Yeah, Ireland.
If Israel is invited. Still Spain, too.
Spain
is a big
really?
One. Spain's a big one.
I know Ireland was one of the first Western countries to recognize Palestine, like, a couple
yeah.
months ago.
I feel like Spain's been pretty, like, consistently good on that recently,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, and I think there's one or two more, but those
I'm
are the
sure
two big
are.
Ones I saw. It is still insane that Israel is part of Eurovision in the
yeah,
first
which
place.
Is like,
and Eurobasket.
Eurobasket.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, there's... I want to know the history behind that, how long that's been a thing.
Probably
like, that's just crazy.
Since Israel was created, because yeah. Israel was always treated as a European nation.
Yeah. Yeah, even though, like, they don't consider, like, Turkey or Europe.
Yeah.
You know, even though Turkey is...
Way closer.
Arguably...
Arguably Europe. Yeah.
Arguably could be in Europe.
Yeah.
At least Istanbul.
Yeah. No, 100%. Like, Eastern Turkey, 100%.
Yeah.
Or Western, sorry.
Yeah, for a long time I thought it was like Russia, where part of it's considered Europe and part of it's Asia. Which, I don't know if that's how it's recognized, but you can at least make that argument. Like, Israel, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, Israel is in
it's
the center
firmly,
of the
it is
in
the
center of them, yeah.
The, what's the peninsula called? It's not the Iberian. Is it the Iberian Peninsula? I'll look it up. But yeah, it is part of the land that it's on is so defiantly part of the Middle East. Oh wait, Iberian Peninsula is Spain.
It's just the Arabian Peninsula.
Is it Arabian? It's some. Sure. It's a peninsula of some sort. But
it's
yeah,
a concept of a peninsula.
For whatever reason,
it's next to the Arabian Peninsula.
Yeah.
It might as well be on the Arabian Peninsula.
Yeah, it's just chilling
it's
right there.
Just outside of it. Yeah. No. I mean, like, obviously, we've all talked about Israel-Palestine a whole lot.
Yeah.
But also, it's like...
But it's important.
It just keeps getting worse, though. Yeah. And we need to keep talking about
it. Is objectively probably going to be the biggest just ongoing story of our time.
Yeah.
In, like, 20 years in classes, yeah. people... It's like the Armenian genocide where it's, like, slowly getting more recognition.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that, I think.
Given that it is the first genocide that Gen Z has been really cognizant of.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been other ones, but
yeah.
depending on your definition of genocide, like, the what's happening in Palestine is the biggest one that's happened in the past.
Or the least recognized one, because there have been, like, a lot of genocides
yeah.
in our time, but, like, everyone knows when a genocide is happening, and for some reason we're just blind to it when it's in Israel.
Yeah.
Just because yep. they're our ally.
Yeah.
Which they should not be anymore. I would be so happy to have a president that recognized that. That president would win pretty quickly.
They also,
oh,
just
yeah.
like wouldn't exist without us too. Like,
yeah, Israel would be gone by now if we're being realistic. Like, obviously, like no country technically has the right to exist, but like, Israel would not have its defense without the United States. So the fact that we can't just turn to them and be like, "Can you stop, please?" is crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
because if we want to do that, we could.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, we have the power to, but the pro-peace president...
The pro-peace ticket.
Doesn't want to do that.
So
who also shot another Venezuelan ship today.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, today.
Second
wow.
one.
Hmm. Full of civilians?
Another 4 people dead, I think.
But they're bringing drugs in. So that means that we can do war crimes on them.
They're bringing fentanyl, even though, like, all of that's from us.
Also, we
yeah.
have no way of knowing if they're actually bringing that, because they're only releasing the footage of them bombing the ships with drone strikes. Like, they're just striking the ships. We have no evidence that they were actually bringing any
yeah.
drugs. They're just dying. It's
and
crazy.
And, like, worse, like, if they were bringing, like, super fentanyl, like, 10 million pounds of it, whatever... That's still civilians.
You see the shit where Trump was like, 300 million people died of drugs last year. It's like, does that mean like everyone in the country would be dead? Like, that's crazy.
No, there'd be 60 million left. Come on.
I think like 62 million people in the whole world actually died last year.
From
From like everything.
Everything. Yeah. I was about to say from drugs. That's
no, from
way
like
too
literally
many.
Everything. Like just died in
the oh, we have the world's smartest president, a stable genius, if
yep.
you will.
Yep, stable genius.
Yes. We got anything else before we jump in?
I mean, there's one thing that I didn't want to talk about that directly segues into the shooting in Utah.
Colorado.
There was a shooting. There was a school shooting. It was at a high school.
Yeah. 60 miles, like within 60 miles of Denver.
Yeah. I don't know how many people got hurt or died.
Three people were shot.
I don't think anyone died.
I don't think anyone died. One of them was the shooter that got injured. But
I think like three miles. Oh, yeah.
That's the 48th, 49th shooting, mass shooting of this year.
48th school shooting, I believe, this year. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's lower than previous years.
Yeah.
Oh, at this point in time, we don't have more school shootings than there are days in the year, which sounds crazy, but I guess that's a good thing.
It's a good thing, yeah.
We've had that in the past. Yeah. We've had, like, 110 school shootings, and we were, like, in the start of March.
Yep.
It was like,
yeah,
what is going on?
Yeah. Isn't there, I don't know the exact statistic, but isn't there still, like, just, like, in general, like, a mass shooting? I forgot the exact qualifications for a mass shooting are, but there's still something like that, like, almost every day or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But guns aren't the problem.
Yes.
No,
and guns
it's not
will never
like,
be the problem.
It's not like the gunshot wound is what's written on like everyone's autopsy when they're dead.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually that they were a liberal. So.
And it's also not...
You know, like the Onion headline that I always do. It's like, this is the only country where this happens.
Nothing, no way to stop this. It says only nation where this is a regular issue.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
It can't be healthcare. It can't be mental health care. And it can't be guns. Yeah. So it must be trans people.
Yep, 100%.
Which I guess that the
must
reason...
radical leftist indoctrination in the schools.
And the reason why that shooting got overshadowed, did it happen before?
I think it happened like
it was
right
happening
after.
Like simultaneously, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I guess this is the point where we're not going to talk about anything else, because this is the biggest news story of the past like few months.
It might be the biggest of the year.
Yeah.
It might stay the biggest of the year, too. I'd be happy if this stayed the biggest news story of the year.
Yeah.
To be honest.
If nothing worse happened. Yeah.
I'd be happy if nothing worse happens than this. But that doesn't seem to be the direction America's going in right now.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll start talking about Utah.
So what's everyone's take?
Well, I guess before...
before that...
If you have been living under a rock since Wednesday, very famous conservative activist Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Can we call it an assassination?
It's
yet?
An assassination. It was directly targeted.
Okay.
Very clear.
Okay, because for
no one else
a few days,
shot.
Yeah. But like for a few days, they didn't know what the motive was and all that. And I don't know if they have declared a solid motive yet.
No, there's no declared motive. There's a lot of like... he said, she said right now. But there's no, like, actual information that we know besides, like, the bullet casings and the gun.
Yeah, and who
and
the
shooter.
And the shooter. We've learned a decent amount about the shooter.
Yeah.
And although it's still unclear where his positions lied.
Yeah.
Because it seemed... people are saying that he was registered as a Republican. I don't know if that's true.
Independent.
He was
registered to vote, but independent.
Raised in a conservative family. Conservative
Mormon. Conservative Mormon family.
Very white.
Yeah.
And was raised just around guns.
He had guns from when he was like 5 and up.
Yeah.
Like
that's a parallel that we're coming back to very frequently.
Yeah. You look at all of the, shooters in the past. I'm going to avoid using like names of shooters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like a lot of them in the past have grown up around guns, been shooting guns their whole lives.
Yeah.
But that's for whatever mind-boggling reason. That's not the main thing that people are focusing on.
No, everyone's focusing on the fact that he might have been leftist and he might have had a transgender partner, and that may have possibly somehow motivated him to shoot Charlie Kirk.
Which I don't know how, like, they could... I know that his neighbor said that he saw the shooter... walking out of his house holding hands with someone who looked transgender. And that's like the only solid evidence I saw.
I also have something that just doesn't add up to me. This neighbor was supposedly driving past, like when he told the story on the news, he was driving past when he saw the shooter and his partner supposedly coming out of the house. But he supposedly saw them holding hands, kissing, and then somehow heard about a sex change surgery.
Not even that. I heard he said they were talking about a doctor's appointment.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Inferred to be about gender affirming care.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if we have any information on this supposed transgender partner.
I think the name is out there at this point.
And they're talking to the FBI.
Yeah, and they're fully cooperating.
Yeah.
And the thing about them living together is false. He was living with his parents at the time.
He was living with his parents, but he may have, like, officially lived at the townhouse.
I think, like, his mailing address was
the townhouse or something.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of mixed signals, obviously. And it's unclear if, like, it's being pushed just because they want to push it away from it being a different motive than, I don't like this guy, I want to shoot him.
Apparently the FBI, like, lost his note. He had a note.
Yeah, they destroyed his manifesto.
He had a manifesto.
Yeah, the FBI destroyed it, but they know what it says somehow, even though they destroyed it.
Yeah, that's cap.
Like,
and they also fired, Kash Patel fired the head FBI director in Utah, like, what, 2 days before?
Yeah.
Like that last Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, I just heard about that. Yeah, which is, I mean, just in, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I wish there was a more unified response by the federal government on this, because this is the largest political assassination of our lifetime, probably.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Probably most people's lifetimes.
Most people, unless they were alive during JFK.
The last one,
or RFK, I guess, technically.
RFK, I mean, yeah. Like, RFK. I was going to say, like,
go back, I mean, I guess John Lennon, but he wasn't.
That was not political. That was
just schizo.
That was just
Catcher in the Rye, yeah.
Yeah.
Or this guy could have just been a schizo, too. Like,
yeah, we don't know his
motive.
We
really don't know.
Because there's a very interesting distinction that's being drawn a lot where this is time. I don't know a lot about it. There's this time period in, I think it's Italian-German history called the Years of Lead, where there was just this very drastic increase in political violence. But the difference between this and what's happening in America right now is those were carried out by ideological groups who had very clear, like, left or right-wing motives. Like, I think in America, like, all these today, it's just these, like, very strange loners who just kind of want to put their names out there. Yeah. Like, that kid who shot Trump. Like, yeah, there's nothing really known about him, except he was, like, probably just going to, like, shoot some famous dude.
A lot of them have been Redditors or 4chan users.
Or Discord. Discord.
They're trying to blame this guy on Discord somehow.
Yeah, I don't...
Which is crazy work.
They're not looking, like, I wish there was a more unified response in that it's either you are, how could this happen? Why did the left do this? Or you're, fuck Charlie Kirk, he deserved it. But no one is saying, like, well, a lot of people are. I would say a lot of people on the left are, but it's not, for whatever reason, not in the public eye that, like, maybe guns, like, why political violence is bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, as people from Connecticut, like, I pretty quickly saw Chris Murphy's response to the shooting, and he summed it up perfectly. He was like, obviously I don't condone political violence, but we're not addressing the actual issues when we're blaming different sides here.
Yeah.
The problem is the guns. It is pretty, like, night and day, like, the difference between, like, Japan and the U.S., like, the highest, like, assassination in Japan in recent memory was used with a homemade gun, because it is that hard to access one there. And obviously in America we have the Second Amendment, so we'll always have the right to some form of arms. But we can definitely, like, mental health screen check people and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like
you can get a gun easier than it is to drive a car.
Yeah, and that's dumb.
And I think I think they're pretty comparable, because, like, even Charlie Kirk said that, like, guns are worth it because even if there's a few deaths from mass shootings, at the end of the day, the Second Amendment is still worthy to protect.
Right.
Like, yeah, cars are still something that we need. And I think most people would say that, like, they would take, you know, drunk drivers or just deaths on the highway or whatever if it meant that they could still have cars.
Right.
but why is it so much easier to get a gun than it is to drive a car?
Right. Like, maybe you should get a gun license or something like that to prove that, one, you're of stable mind, and two, you're not going to accidentally misfire. I actually saw him talking with someone about this. Like, Charlie Kirk had an argument with someone about this, and he kind of got, like, Charlie Kirk got owned in this discussion because, like, low-key, like, the guy was arguing exactly what you're saying, Hank, and, like, he was more or less along the lines of, I understand what you're saying, but personally, I disagree, which is crazy for Charlie Kirk to, like, say that. Usually, he's like, science and scripture both say that you're wrong. And it's like, in this case, the guy he was arguing with, he won. Like,
you opponent.
Even Charlie Kirk low-key agreed with him by the end of the discussion, which is not usual in his debates.
I mean, yeah, but like just going along with these themes, I think we just see the craziest voices being amplified on the internet on the left and particularly the right.
Yeah.
I think most people do. I think the consensus is, and the right consensus is, that two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
It's that number one, maybe like Charlie Kirk, he wasn't a great person. We can talk about the martyrdom and the whitewashing of his legacy later. I mean, we've already kind of gotten into it a little bit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's not great. The media and, like, the shit with, like, the NFL teams, like, had paying tribute to him. Like, he was like, an extremist.
They were forced. Some of them were forced.
Yeah, the Packers were forced to.
Which is crazy. Flags at half-mast.
Yeah.
Like, this is, it's a tragedy. He should not have been shot. But is this a national tragedy?
No. I don't believe it is. But,
I don't believe it is.
But that being said, we can talk about that later, but political violence, I think we've already touched on this, but it's wrong in all cases. Violence only begets further violence, and at the end of the day, regardless of what you thought of the guy, I mean, I think we've all didn't really like him, but this will just still be a net negative in terms of its implications going down the road. It gives, well, number one, it gives the right a martyr, but also just increasingly, it does normalize political violence, and maybe, like, someone on the Democrat side gets shot, someone other Republican gets shot, and that just further increases our divide. So, yeah, I don't know. Just the normalization of, he's, at the end of the day, Charlie Kirk is a victim of gun violence.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a crazy thing to say, but it's true. And yeah, like, I don't know.
Just a message to people on the left who may have been supporting and actively condoning this specific instance of political violence. How, first of all, what's going to change? There's going to be another person to come in and fill his shoes. It seemed like they're already lining his wife up to do that.
Yeah.
That's so, this really has done nothing except to rile up the right into it further into their convictions. And second of all, how does that make you different than, you know, someone on the right who sees a trans person dying and celebrates it?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, shooting him, does that already make you worse than Charlie Kirk? I argue it is, honestly.
Yeah, and like, obviously, a lot of these people are celebrating it are not as hateful or as bigoted as Charlie Kirk was.
Right.
But you're sort of getting into that territory where, like, you're both sides are celebrating deaths.
Yeah, it's a murky area.
Yeah. It's just completely so far from where the conversation should be headed, and that political violence is an issue that goes both ways. Yeah. And is wrong on both sides, no matter what.
Like, without trying to make generalizations, I mean, we've all seen, I mean, there's memes, there's jokes, and we've all seen and maybe even laughed at some of them.
Yeah.
But I think, like, some on the left have just been engaging this very, in some ways, like, I guess, like, competitive lack of empathy. And maybe you don't feel empathy for Charlie Kirk, and I understand if you do, because, I mean, yeah, the guy was kind of deplorable. But, I mean, that's still two kids without a father. That's still someone who's dead. That's still another victim. That's still an increase in violence in our society.
Yeah.
That's a continuation of the vicious societal cycle we've been seeing with guns and with the increased social divide in our society. So, yeah, it's not good. But, yeah, I thought it was very interesting, the, like I said, competitive sort of lack of empathy. Like, I'm going to make the darker joke. I'm going to say the more, like, oh, I feel sorry for the bullet or whatever. It's like, I don't know, like, I mean, I understand if you're not sad Charlie Kirk died, but it's also like, does this accomplish?
It's crazy to not be like, maybe shooting someone isn't good in all cases. Like, I feel like unless you are literally like Hitler, like you should not just be publicly executed like that. Like,
You also do have the freedom of speech to say this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think both sides, in some cases, I feel like the more like right or conservative side is pushing a little bit harder right now, because they are in a position of power. The left might do the same if they had a political assassination. But I feel like both sides have kind of been more like worried about what this means for them rather than how can we stop this from happening in the future. And like we should be focused on, we should stop violence. We should not be focused on, oh, I feel bad for the bullet, or I can't believe a liberal leftist killed Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't help us at all.
It doesn't matter who killed him.
Exactly. Someone died, and someone shot someone else. And everyone knows about it, and everyone's talking about it, and no one's focusing on the fundamentals of what actually happened. They're more focused on politics.
They're more focused on either celebrating or, you know, whitewashing his legacy and, you know, vitriolizing, if that's a word, the other side.
Yeah, like J.D. Vance hosted the Charlie Kirk show today, and that is just so crazy. Like, they're using Charlie Kirk's death as a way to further push their politics upon everyone, which is not how you react to a political assassination.
Like, there was the comparison floating around on Twitter, like, right after it happened, of Biden in the Oval Office address talking about the Trump assassination attempt versus Trump's Oval Office address talking about Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And it's so night and day how Trump spends maybe a minute of 4-minute video talking about, like, violence has no place in this country, political violence has no place in this country, and then immediately goes into the radical leftists are to blame, they can't do this anymore. Whereas Biden kept it as, we need to settle our differences to eliminate this problem
and stop it from happening.
Yeah, it's very much a case where, I mean, regardless of what you think about, now I'm kind of on the boat that both parties do suck, but it's like, this is a moment where is a very substantial difference between how this was handled.
Yeah, no, 100%. I fully understand, like, why people are so angry about it, because a lot of people did watch Charlie Kirk's videos, and they kind of had that, like, I'm forgetting the term. Parasocial relationship with him. So, like, they felt like they knew him, even if they never knew what he was like at home or anything like that. But, like, it's one of those things, like, we need to focus on the fundamentals, and I'll keep repeating this, like, a political assassination just happened. It is the highest grade political assassination in decades.
Since like the 60s, yeah.
And we're blaming. Like, we're being like, he said, she said, and this is bad, and let's fire these people celebrating, and let's take away their rights, and let's take away their passports for their opinions. And it's like, we should not be focused on any of this right now. We should stop these things from happening in the future. Like, I'm not sure how we can push that policy as civilians of this country, but I feel like we should be talking about the core fundamentals and what we need to address more than anything else.
And, like, I understand the concept of, like, you have free speech, and it is absolute, but you have to deal with the social repercussions of it.
Yeah.
But using free speech and using your ability to contact an employer for someone who said something bad about Charlie Kirk afterwards, that's essentially just weaponizing it.
And no, 100%.
Using it as a scare tactic as to, you know, even if a lot of these people weren't even going out on Facebook or whatever saying, like, I'm glad this happened, it should happen more. Although a lot of people were saying that, which is not good. But the people who were just disagreeing or even saying maybe this is a gun problem more than it is, you know, politics-wise,
maybe this is also maybe, you know, a consequence of 50 years of neoliberalism and having, like, no social safety net.
Yeah.
It creates this giant schisms in society and our giant discontents. Like, this is a consequence of that.
Yeah, and if this...
And that's never... No one's going to admit that. No one in the mainstream, anyway.
Yeah, and if this person had access to any kind of, you know, help for... Because if you're going to go out and shoot someone that you don't like for whatever reason, you have issues. And if this person had some kind of, you know, place to talk about that or get help for it, this wouldn't have happened. And you can say that about any other shooting. Well, maybe not every single one, but most of them, at least most of the mass shootings. Yeah. And obviously the other part is guns, which we've talked about a lot.
Yeah, so kind of like we kind of covered a lot already. This is kind of ironic, but like I'm not a Candace Owens fan, but like I feel like she was one of the only few people to react like in the way that a normal person would mourn that surrounded Charlie Kirk. Like
they were like close friends.
Yeah, you could tell that she's actually mourning and that she's going through something. And she said, "I hate everyone right now," and I kind of agree, like, anyone who's trying to make this a polarizing issue, like, I would hate them, too, if my friend had just died. Like,
yeah. And you have people like, you know, Ben Shapiro going on, the next day and announcing that, like, I'm going to do a college tour, too. Yeah. Like, how is that not capitalizing on someone's death? A death of someone that was supposed to be your friend.
Yeah, and you worked with him all the time, and, like, you were close with him. Like, you knew this guy.
Like, you can't, you know, write a better response to that isn't immediately just, I'm going to go after the people who did this, and, you know, and a lot of it has been, like, weird, like, threats. Like, who is it that was like, they can't do this anymore, this is civil war? Yeah. It was like a lot of people.
There were a lot of weird Twitter accounts doing that. It was like Ian Miles Chong, who lives in Malaysia. And
Well, just like, regardless of who's doing it, it's just our culture war is just going to continue, and the actual issues that matter won't be addressed. Our social safety net won't expand. Our culture will get more and more divided. Like, that's the danger of this, is just furthering the societal discontent that's going to lead to more violence.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I saw that video, when I saw that he had been shot, the first thing I went to do was go to the bathroom and catch my breath, because it is a disgusting video and no one should ever see that. But like it was also like, I felt like I was going to throw up because I was scared for our country. Like, someone taking these steps, like, means that, like, we're reaching a point in polarization that, like, I don't want to say we're past the point of no return, but if people keep playing culture wars, it's just going to get worse from here.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a terrifying concept in general. So I think, I already said this, we need to be more united on this front, 100%. Yeah.
It's just a further implication of our politics at the moment. If we just keep electing these fascist Republicans and these neoliberal Democrats, like, they're just going to keep doing the culture war, and they're not going to actually change anything that matters, or that matters substantially or long term. And it's like, yeah, it's just going to continue, and that's the scariest thing about all this. We're going to probably get some more violence, probably another high-profile assassination, but even if that doesn't happen, we'll still have mass shootings and school shootings that will just keep going unaddressed. Then we have systemic violence, like, in our healthcare system.
Yeah, and, you see people posting it, like, over and over again, people making jokes about it, people making AI videos about it. Like, it's become so desensitized.
Yeah.
To where even, like, people on both sides, like, just endlessly repost the video, or like Erica Kirk posting his entire corpse online,
man. Which so weird.
I'm sorry, I don't know how what being a high profile conservative celebrity is like, but I'm not sure if posting your husband's corpse on the internet is, you know, a good mourning tactic,
right? Like, I immediately was like, I'm not sure I feel as bad for her anymore. Like, she needs help. Like, she is mourning her husband who was assassinated, and she's already trying to make it kind of about herself. Like, I'm not her. I don't know her perspective on all of this, obviously. But, like, the way it presents itself is just so, like, bad. Like,
she was, like, I saw she was, like, apparently she was Miss Arizona or something. So, yeah. Sounds like a guy who was in it for love. Like, don't know.
Yeah.
And one of the first things that I was wondering is, was she going to, like, think any differently about guns?
Right.
Like, how can you have something like that happen to someone that you are so close to, like, literally your husband, and you think nothing of gun control? You don't, it doesn't even, like, cross your mind that this wouldn't have happened if this person was not able to get access to a gun.
Yeah, it should be so disturbing and also predictable if in like a year or two we get a clip of Erica Kirk. That's her name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should like get a clip of her on a tour defending the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I read the stories, write the articles, the Onion articles write themselves, but I mean, is it going to happen? Probably.
Yeah.
No one would be surprised. That's what's scary. Yeah. Like,
there's also, speaking of the Onion, there was this really poignant, there's a headline, I think it's from the 90s, and it was like, brutalization, desensitization process almost complete, like in the 90s, and here we are now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like something major happens and everyone just like gets Instagram reels or TikToks about it and starts laughing in a day or two. Like,
yeah.
Even I'm guilty of this. Yeah. Like,
Humor to tragedy is a natural thing.
Like, yeah. No, 100%.
It's a very human response.
But it's, I feel like we're just it's part of desensitizing in a lot of ways, like trying to laugh it off. Because, like, I feel like we have a lot of like really horrible things happen nowadays. And our immediate response is to, like, go look and see if there's, like, an Instagram reel that's funny about it. Like,
yeah, and I don't necessarily think there's a problem with that. Because there's a difference between, like, laughing at a joke that's dark after a tragic event happens. Yeah. And genuinely believing, like, this was a good thing. This needs to happen more.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, there's a lot of people in, like, that camp, though. And, like, that's what's worrying me. Like, I feel like I'm obviously very pro, like, making jokes about everything. But I feel like as someone who even laughs at these jokes 90% of the time, I feel like some people aren't, like, making that connection that, like, maybe, like, I'm kind of tripping over my words right now. Like, I feel like they're being, like, so used to something tragic happening and just laughing it off that they're not really processing it fully ever anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of what's desensitizing us and causing us to, like, I don't know, be like, maybe it's okay that this happened because it's just the new norm.
Yeah, no one wants to think about this and the subtleties and implications of it. It's either just blame the right or the left to be like, oh, this is so bad for the left, like, the right's going to make a martyr out of him, or just be like, ha, this is funny, he should have died, or,
yeah,
like, whatever it may be. It's just your base gut level instinct reaction is probably the most popular one.
Yeah.
And that's not good. There's a complete lack of critical thinking.
Yeah.
Which goes back to education, but that's a whole other thing.
You even had people who were, like, demonizing Dean Withers about his response.
He was
Which made no sense to me, because, like, yeah, they were very diametrically opposed in their opinions, but...
And I think people's issue with him is probably just another Democrat corporate influencer show. It's like selective outrage. He's crying about this, but he won't, like, say anything about Gaza. I think that's it, but, I mean, once again, like...
But I don't
think that's what the conservative response has been, though.
I haven't been looking at that.
But I understand why it hit him so much, because not only... I mean, he was there. He was in the audience.
Yeah, that's crazy. I knew him so recently.
If you, like, his career was launched because of Charlie Kirk. It was really, it was that one debate on Jubilee that brought attention to him.
Yeah.
And I don't think they ever had a one-on-one debate since then, but they had back and forth on their public platform.
Yeah, so, and like, they knew each other.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of the same thing with Hassan. Like, obviously they're very opposed to each other, but
they were going
to
debate in like
2 weeks. They were going to debate in 2 weeks. Nuts. Like, they weren't like quite coworkers because they're, like,
they're so opposite.
So opposite, but they work in the same industry and they still know of each other and they still probably talk to each other a fair amount.
Yeah, I was watching like Kyle Kalinske, like, he's another like left wing podcaster, show host. The day it happened, he was talking, Charlie Kirk apparently offered to do a national debate tour with him, which he declined, but it's like, what could have happened if he was there too? Or like some other person on the left.
Yeah
and how would the left have responded?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, would they
hopefully
also,
we don't have to find out,
would they also demonize the right? Like, I feel like low-key they probably would, instead of actually addressing what's going on. I mean, I guess we won't know because that's not what happened.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
unless it happens in the future, which hopefully the way things are going, it very well could. Although I really
if
would
the left
hope
ever
doesn't.
Takes over,
yeah,
that's if, another discussion.
You know, transgenders take over the country, which is like they were already like
when Gavin Newsom makes us all gay.
He's gonna make the water make us gay.
Yeah,
you don't
the
get
frogs
it.
In the water.
You see that clip of Nancy Mace.
Oh, God.
She's so just ripping the T-Slayer.
Yeah, she's like, obviously yeah, this...
is so redundant to talk about her. Like, one of her staffers was like, she's only in this to be on TV. Like, she doesn't care about legislating.
Yeah. And then she got an increase in security after it happened.
I think they have to do that from their own pocket, which is crazy.
Really? Like,
yeah.
That's really bad.
They just don't have the funds to do it for... There's like, how many people in Congress? 435 in the House. They just don't have the funds to do it.
They get like one security guard.
They probably do, but it all goes to like Lockheed Martin. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, we have to support defense companies instead of the people who are supposed to be representing
us. Yeah, our trillion-dollar defense budget. But we have to cut USAID, all that.
Yeah, we have to...
Department of Ed.
So that Trump can build a, like, palace ballroom or whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
That clip was very funny where that guy was like... Have you seen these trucks? So the guy, the reporter was like, "How are you taking these?" He's like, "Oh, very good. Have you seen the new? Have you seen the trucks? Have you seen the ballroom?"
I don't think
very Trump, expensive.
I don't think Trump cares.
He doesn't care about anything. He's a narcissist. He only cares about himself.
No, like I think he was probably a little bit shocked when it happened.
He's probably worried for himself now.
Probably worried for himself, but he didn't like go to any of like the like public things that were for Charlie Kirk.
How many days is it going to be?
Funeral.
How many days is it going to be till he brags? Like. Whether intentionally or not, because, I mean, his brain's melting out of his ears. But one day he's going to be like, I survived and he didn't, or something. I don't know what he'll say.
Oh, exactly. He will. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he's...
What else can we talk about, like, regarding this? I guess the bullet casings are pretty crazy. Yeah.
This is my case for it just not being an ideological shooter. It's just another, like, Discord moderator schizo. Like, it was just memes. Like, maybe it was vaguely, like, one way or the other, but it's just a guy who probably was just a weird loner, just wanted to be, just gain some notoriety.
Yeah. Like, some of it was very much, like, you know, that early, like, late 2010s, like mid to late 2010s, 4chan humor.
Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff I thought was funny in, like, when I was 13.
Yeah. And then the other half, there was, like, two of them were that sort of, like, meme, and the other two were very, like, anti-fascist. Left wing.
One of them was anti-fascist, right?
Wasn't one of them like the Bella Chow that was like in a.
I guess Bella Chow is
Bella Chow, and also Hey Fascist Catch.
Hey Fascist Catch.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. It's so crazy to me that like that got written, like on those bullets, like for such a high profile thing to have happened. Like, it's crazy that it was just some like chud.
Yeah, it's this, like the like, Gen Z shooter is the post-ironic schizo. It's just like this is probably going to... If there are more attempts, things like this, like I really just don't. I think I was making a parallel earlier. So there was, I think it was in the 60s, political violence in Italy and Germany. It's just like the parallel to that is the violence, but those were distinctly ideological and nothing like that's going to happen here. It's just like weird. It's going to be loners. It's not going to be groups either, which just another case for expanding the social safety net.
And
No, that's bad. Yeah, you're right.
Helping Americans is bad.
That's true.
Gavin, raise their taxes.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be groups because, like, there's been ideological groups because, like, the Charlottesville riot, like, 10 years ago. But, I mean, those people all hate Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
Because he loved Israel. He wasn't far right enough for them.
He hated black people, women, immigrants. But not Jews. That's the only, like, difference.
Yeah, so they're
all... And he was starting to change his mind about Israel, though.
That's true, yeah. Which is crazy. Y'all think it was the Messiah? It was not.
It was not.
He spent his whole life defending Israel. If you think that, you're stupid. I'm sorry.
No, I've been finding, like, all those videos of, like, people, like, scratching their arms kind of funny, though. Like, it's like someone in the crowd is scratching their arm. It's like, this guy actually had a very tiny gun hidden under his hand, and he was the one that shot Charlie. And it's like...
Yeah, it's just crazy. We're all crazy now. It was like the same thing when like Trump disappeared for a week and was like, he died.
I mean, I feel like if our government was actually like informative and they actually like told us the truth, none of this would be happening.
Yeah, that's
like
part of it.
We're like, Kash Patel was like eating dinner at some restaurant in New York when the shooter got turned in, and Trump told Kash Patel like, "Hey, like, I want to tell the public that we caught the shooter," and I'm not going to tell them for another 12 hours. This actually happened. What? They had him at 11 p.m. on Thursday night, 36 hours after the shooting. No one knew that they had got the shooter until Friday morning. Trump was the one to announce it. Like, that is a public safety risk.
And he was also the one to announce his death.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very
strange. And Netanyahu at the very same time.
Really?
Yep.
I thought he just said he was... I didn't think Netanyahu did it. But anyway, yeah, it's weird. I don't know, man. What are we going to do? What can we do?
I mean, also, like, destroying the manifesto. Voice. Like, yeah. Come on. Yes. Like, just tell us, like, exactly what happened. And, like, everyone would trust you a little bit more. Like, genuinely. Even if it's, like, conservative presidency and I don't agree with you. Just say what actually happened instead of being like, well, we can't tell you because it might have been a transgender person. It's like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Talk to us. We voted you into office as a country. Talk to us.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get it.
And also, like, I do understand the viewpoint of, you know, the left hasn't been able to get their opinions out there in any meaningful way. So, like, killing someone is a way to get a lot of attention on your cause. But also, there are just so many better ways to do that.
Yeah.
And, like, I know people are tired of hearing, like, just get out there and vote. But, like, I mean, you have your power. We don't live in a democracy, per se. But you still do have the power of voting someone in who won't be a, you know, massive, insane, brain-wormed conservative or a soulless Democrat machine neoliberal.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing that in New York right now.
Yeah.
Like, Zoran Mamdani is not the normal Democrat in any way.
And you also have people here, like, even, like, Chris Murphy, I mean, he has his faults.
Yeah.
His foreign policy takes it very bad.
Yeah.
His position on Israel is
Venezuela
very bad.
Is very bad, too.
Yeah.
Is his Venezuela bad? I don't know about this.
I remember what he said recently, but, like, when Biden was president, he was, like, pro-invading them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll be president in, like, 20 years. Give him
Chris
time.
Murphy, have you heard that man speak?
Maybe, you know.
No, he could be one of those. He could be a J.D. Vance, like, president, though.
So bad.
No,
one.
not a bad. He would be a pretty solid president, I think. If he had someone, like, if he had a Secretary of State that was actually good.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he would be good for gun legislation.
Yeah, he would cause change.
He would be a good cabinet member.
He'd be good, yeah, like Secretary of, I don't know, something.
Homeland.
Maybe. No, that'd be, no, because then he'd, I don't know.
He doesn't like deportation.
Yeah, that's another conversation. But yeah, I don't know, do you guys think anything will change if a Democrat gets elected? I'm talking like a moderate neoliberal establishment, like Gavin Newsom or Kamala Harris.
I think
it would be better than what we have now, but do you think it will just lead to the rise of another Trump-like figure? Because that's what I think it will do.
I don't think we will ever have another Trump-like figure.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen again.
That's strong.
He is unique. Trump is so unique.
You just get one guy with, like, some kind of charisma. I think it can very
easily. No, but Trump has the charisma, though.
One of those happens in every party every, like, couple decades. Like, Trump is the first person with that much pull since, like, Reagan.
Yeah.
And, you know, Obama is very much the same thing, but on the Democratic side. So I think that there'll be some rise of another, you know.
We'll get a very bad Republican president after that,
yeah.
Regardless of whether it's like Bia's Riz or whatever.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think that, like.
Or she, it could be Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Or Lauren Boebert.
Or Erica
Kirk. My God.
I did not jerk off that man.
Silent prayers get silent answers.
But I don't know, like, I think no matter what, it would be better than our current admin. Obviously, I'm going to vote for the opposition because I can't handle another, like, 10 years of this. Like,
yeah.
America can't handle that, if we're being honest. But I do agree. We need a Dem Tea Party. Like,
yeah.
We
do. Like, I mean, you have the power, although they are cracking down on it. Like, I don't, you still always have the power given to you by the Constitution to assemble, protest, and, you know, use your voice in a way that will make them hear. Because, like, even, like, the No Kings protest, like, that was a good thing.
That was the biggest protest in American history. And, like, I understand the argument that, like, that didn't get enough done. And
I don't know how much walking around in circles is going to do much.
Yeah, but like, what else?
It's so better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. It's better to share your voice and make everyone know what you think.
It's good to demonstrate, like, mass social resistance is good, even if it's, like, not super effective on its own. The more you build, the more, the higher the chance you have.
Yeah, that's and true. I think what's the issue right now is, like, a lot of people are living in fear, essentially. Like, I don't think people are feeling like if they did have a disruption protest similar to the protests in 2020, that things would actually be okay. Because, like, Trump is putting troops in, I don't remember, it's like North Carolina or something. It's not even like one of the cities he was threatening. And that was just announced today. He's putting National Guard members in, maybe it's Louisville. I don't know.
It was Memphis.
It's Memphis.
I don't remember, maybe. Who knows?
But he's putting troops in another city, and he's like, we got to clean this city up fast so we can get them to Chicago. And, like, we really are at that point where we don't know if that's an empty threat. Like,
yeah,
that, and I feel like that's why everyone's so scared. Also with, like, Homeland Security and all the stuff that's going on, like, I feel like people are threatened right now, and instead of reacting in a way that's like, oh, I'm gonna get myself arrested, it's like, I'm gonna be quiet and just live my life normally.
Yeah.
Which isn't great, obviously. But
if you can get out there and resist these movements, you can show that a lot of people, millions and millions of people, are opposed to this. They think it's a disgusting overreach of power.
And also, make change at the local level. I think that's the most important first step. Like, the national, as an individual, you have very little sway over the national environment. But if you can make change in your city, a local community, vote in the midterms, not just like organize, talk to friends, make sure you have a community, make sure we have people who are on the same page that can resist. It starts in your community, starts at, I mean, I won't say where, so I don't talk to myself. I've been doing an internship in a nearby city, and it deals with the situation with homelessness and housing in the city. And I've been very inspired by the people I work with who dedicate their lives, but pretty low pay, frankly, to make a better change in their community, to help people.
Yeah.
And I think if more people do, it doesn't even have to be like a job. It can just be helping in some small way. I think that's great. I don't know. What do you guys think?
And if more people do that,
yeah,
then more people will see that.
And that builds into a national movement eventually as well.
Yeah, 100%.
And people will stop living in fear, which you have every right to live in fear right now, because
it's a scary time.
Yeah, and sending National Guard into cities is crazy.
It's unprecedented.
Yeah. But, like, you know, vote in the midterms. Midterms historically are way lower than the national election.
It's like less than 50%.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think like 2018 was the highest ever midterm, and it was like 48% of the electorate voted.
Yeah.
Get out and vote for the people who you want to
vote in primaries, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Vote every time you get the opportunity.
Yeah.
In America, we don't even technically have a democracy. So, like, you got to make your vote count here. Like, we don't have ranked choice. We don't have all the things that would actually make things easier or more representative. But you can advocate for those. But you can advocate for those. And
advocate for the issues that matter to you. And
100%.
Vote for someone, whether it's housing, whether it's healthcare, whether it's gun violence, very pertinent right now. Just, I don't know, say something. I agree. Here's your voice.
Don't sit by idly, even though it seems like that's the only option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once again, even if it's just in your town or your city or even your state, that matters.
Yeah. No matter where you are on both sides of the aisle, I think your voice 100% counts, and you should be aiming to make change and the change that you want to see.
And when the Democrats do inevitably get elected, keep the pressure on them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, make sure they actually carry out the changes that they were supposed to.
Hold them accountable.
The pressure on Biden caused him to drop out last year, and obviously we didn't get.
And then we got his vice president.
We didn't get the result we wanted.
Yeah, it was a little silly in hindsight, but what can you do?
If he had dropped out sooner.
Don't vote for Kamala, man. If you're doing that, just please don't.
Yeah, no.
If she runs,
she'd be fine. She's not running for president. She's releasing that book. Don't vote for her in the primaries.
Or Gavin Newsom or Pete Buttigieg. Vote John Stewart. I know how much time we have. I'm dead serious. That's the guy I want right now. I don't know who else it would be. Maybe AOC, Bashir. But I don't know if she'd win.
Bashir.
Maybe. Bashir?
He's not a great speaker, though.
He's better than he's defended trans laws in fucking Kentucky of all places.
Yeah, and he's very popular there.
He's very popular.
That's he would probably trans win platform. Kentucky, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe
I don't know enough about him. Like, I don't know, like, if he's a more progressive or establishment type figure, but that is the few things I do know about him, I do admittedly like.
All right. We're like about the end of time. So thank you all for listening. WHUS Stores. Any final remarks?
Follow us on Instagram, Hank and Ted Pod.
If you want.
If you would like. Send us an email with your thoughts, hankandtedpod@gmail.com, if you would like.
Yeah, trying to get these posted, hopefully on the website. Maybe I can get that like by the end of the week.
Oh, yeah, website. Plug that website. What's that?
WHUS.org.
Oh, shoot.
If you would like, you can listen there.
Yeah.
Maybe by the end of the week.
Right. But, yeah, thank you all.
Thank you for having me on, and don't be afraid to speak out. Use your voice, and, yeah, thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you.